Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ringside Wrap, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on major pro wrestling and MMA promotions, the occasional history lesson, and interviews with legends of yesterday and stars of today. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Ringside Wrap.
Welcome to Ringside Wrap. Rich Tate here with you, as well as Mike Sempervivi. Not sure yet if we're going to have Les roll in here. We'll bring him up on the line as soon as he does. You know, in our intro there, we talk about how we talk to legends of the past. And, you know, while we are a wrestling-heavy show with some MMA coverage, with occasionally the rare boxing story coming through. Let's talk about a legend, Joe Frazier, passing away this week. Huge, just series of bouts with Muhammad Ali, and who can forget the famous calls? Who can forget the fights? Good Lord.
Yeah, that's one of the things I know. A couple people said, oh, you know, Meltzer covering it on the Observer site, and you know, and obviously the rise of MMA and having it so rooted in pro wrestling, especially in Japan, when Japan was big in the 90s, the tie-in there and Pride's birth from it and things like that. And obviously Muhammad Ali plays a great role in that. But one of the reasons that Joe Frazier was put up there and why people are making such a big deal out of it, because there's, you know, the generation listening to this show for the most part gets it. And understands why the younger generation may not as much. And you know, promotion, you've never seen pro wrestling. You would think it was pro wrestling promotion for what took place from Don King and from Bob Arum and everything that took place around Muhammad Ali in general, but especially the Ali-Frazier fights. I mean, Joe Frazier wasn't a big guy. I mean, he was, you know, Tyson-esque in stature. He was a short guy. He's 5'11", I think. You know, 5'10". He was not a big guy, but he was a very wide, strong guy. And he was the epitome of, you know, the Philadelphia, you know, take two, give one, badass fighter. And his series with Muhammad Ali was, I mean, revolutionary as far as promotion goes. I mean, it was, I mean, for the times, it's just, you know, Frazier being called Uncle Tom by Muhammad Ali, and you have to know the situation. We're not going to be able to do it any justice on this show whatsoever, because we're not going to have the time to. I mean, they've devoted hour-long, you know, series of shows to the Ali Frazier series, let alone the rest of Joe Frazier's career. But, you know, in the coming out of the 60s and Ali being jailed for his prime, you know, years, and him being looked at by many as the heavyweight champion of the world and becoming a face, where there were people that wanted him put into jail for not wanting to go in the draft in the 60s, that by the end of all of this, you know, became Ali supporters and Ali fans. And Ali painted Joe Frazier as the, you know, he did with George Foreman too, using his Olympic experience. But Joe Frazier is like, he's like the Uncle Tom. He's got these white guys around him. If I'm not mistaken, Larry Merchant was one of those guys, the HBO commentator from Philadelphia that had a hand in his career and had an ownership stake, management stake in Frazier's career at that time. And Frazier, who was just a hard-working, tough, blue-collar Philadelphia guy, started getting painted by Ali and painted by the media as a result in a very negative light as being, you know, no, he's not the real world champion. You know, Ali really still is. And their series of fights, the ones everybody knows are the first and the third. Obviously, the first one where he broke Muhammad Ali's jaw and actually beat him.
Right.
Then the third fight, which was the Thriller in Manila, you know, there was the second fight in the middle that a lot of people look past. But, you know, if he doesn't quit because he has to, which literally in the third fight he quit right before Ali was ready to say he was going to quit. A lot of people thought, and I'm not saying a lot of people, there were a good deal of people that thought Frazier won the second fight. And, you know, if he doesn't quit in that third fight, you know, there are some people that legitimately believe he won all three. But, you know, everything that went into that, and he was a great fighter, and it's unfortunate because of how badass he was as a heavyweight, and he was one of the greatest heavyweights of all time, you know, people only know him for, they don't even give him credit for beating Ali, even though they call it a trilogy. Everybody always puts the focus on Ali. Then they know him for getting knocked down 6 times in 2 rounds by George Foreman, who was wicked scary. But, I mean, Frazier had some unbelievable fights in the middle there, and he's a legend in his, you know, neck of the woods in Pennsylvania. Bernard Hopkins, you know, was devastated by his death. And, I mean, he's a big deal. He's always been a big deal in the Delaware Valley. So it's just, it's sad, obviously, the end's got to come for everybody, but it was such a whirlwind to hear. I think it was on Saturday that, well, you know, they're looking for hospice care for him. He's got liver cancer. If you haven't heard from him in a while, and being down in this area, you know, I thought I would have heard more about it. I mean, he was in the papers, you know, earlier on in the year and things like that, and you just didn't hear what was going on, and for him to say he's going to hospice with, and it's not looking good for him with liver cancer, and then just a couple days later passing, it's just, it was a shocking, devastating blow. And again, I'm not doing any justice right here, but all the promotion that went around him and Ali, and in that era, and how big those fights were, nobody really understands. You know, there have been some good documentaries that have come out and movies that have come out about that first fight where they talked to, like, James Taylor. You know, he had Madison Square Garden booked. And they had to scramble because they announced for the Garden. They say everything's great. It's like, oh yeah, we got him. And they talked him out of it, gave him and they, you know, everybody free tickets. And it was, you know, it was a cultural revolution event, that first fight between Ali and Frazier, because you had, you know, people always went dressed up to the fights. They did wrestling. If you look at old stuff in the 1900s and on down through, you know, the smoke filled halls and everything, everybody looked pretty dapper. But then that fight, with all of the media attention around it, really brought, you know, but there was always white men. You know, you had some women there, too, obviously, at their men's side, but it was always just white men for the most part, you know, hooting and hollering and everything. Well, that was the era you got, you know, Walt Clyde Frazier is shown in one of the documentaries, the great New York Knicks legend. It was actually in the Just for Men commercials with Keith Hernandez. It's probably how a lot of people know him now. But dressed with his big fur hat and his big fur coat, and it was just, it was the couture, it was the fashion, it was the style, it was how media was presented, how sports was presented, how personalities were presented on such a grand scale. And Joe Frazier was, you know, he, obviously you had to have an Ali, but you had to have a Joe Frazier too. And he was just so great. And again, he was an underrated boxer, an underrated heavyweight boxer, because people think Tyson, and they're seeing Marciano, and there's all of these guys you can name, and Frazier, you know, there's been so many of them. Frazier doesn't get put in that echelon sometimes, and that's too bad, because all people ever think are those Ali fights, which he deserves to be in for those anyway, but then, you know, getting beat by Foreman so badly, and people don't really have a chance to look at the, you know, the entirety of his career. But again, a very big loss, and a tragic loss for anybody that likes, you know, two dudes getting down on a canvas mat, no matter what it is, you had to respect Joe Frazier.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'd forgotten this nugget until reading about him, going back and reading some stuff on him this week. But obviously, a part of WrestleMania 2, being in the corner with Mr. T.
Oh, man.
I'd forgotten all about that.
I hated that. Here's an aside, just for me personally, my old wrestling memories, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's amazing. I can't remember what happened on Raw a couple of weeks ago, but I can remember what happened sitting on the floor on a Saturday afternoon. I hated Lou Duva so bad, because at that time, I don't know how big of a fight fan you were, Rich, but Ray Boom Boom Mancini from Youngstown, Ohio.
Yep.
I mean, I'm part Italian, had an Italian father, loved the ring activity. He liked him some Boom Boom Mancini, so I liked me some Boom Boom Mancini. I was there in 1982. I was watching when he killed Duck Koo Kim and that tragic, you know, the fight on Wide World of Sports. But Duva was in the corner of Livingstone Bramble, who beat Mancini twice. I hated Livingstone Bramble.
That's a name I don't think I've heard in, I don't know, 30 years.
As you know, and I think it was lightweight. I think it was 135 pounds at the time. And in hindsight, I really like Bramble and obviously like Duva in hindsight. But, you know, it was that era of that going on with Duva and Bramble's corner just driving me nuts. And, you know, he'd have the snake around his neck. It just pissed me off. And then it was Piper. And I like Roddy Piper most of the time against Mr. T, but it was just something about boxing Bob Orton and Roddy Piper with the green kilt and duvet, and there was just something about that that drove me nuts. And even though I was not the biggest Mr. T fan, even at that time as a kid, I liked having Joe Frazier in Mr. T's corner. Just seemed to be something very natural about that. And even though the whole fight at WrestleMania completely sucked the cock, it was a complete and utter mess. The build-up for that, as crazy and wacky and all that as it was, I mean, I'm sorry, it was very entertaining. Bob Orton, fighting for Piper, and again, the whole boxing Bob thing, it was just so over-the-top ridiculous. But yes, I hated Duva for a little bit of time there just because of that reason.
Nothing wrong with that. Hey, we've got a call. As a matter of fact, if anybody wants to get in here tonight and discuss anything with us, MMA, wrestling, boxing, we're going to cover it all tonight. I got an absolute menu of items to cover. The number, of course, is 347-324-5735. Get in here and we'll pull you up as soon as we can. Speaking of which, we got somebody from the Florida Panhandle right now calling in. If I can get their line to work, you're on the air. What you got? Hello.
Hey, it's Bill Baldwin here.
Oh, Bill, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. I just was putting an ear to your show, and I wanted to hear what was going on, and I have nothing particular to say, but I'm enjoying the little talk going on.
All right. So always a pleasure. Always a pleasure to know that some of the legends from the old school are listening to us. Were you obviously you heard us talking about Joe Frazier. Were you a boxing fan?
Oh yeah, I love Joe Frazier. I think he was one of the greatest fighters there was. I really liked him. Yes.
And that was back when boxing was actually fun to watch.
Really.
If you hear us here often, I'm always needling Mike here. Just basically, boxing is dead for me. Of course, we got another fight to talk about coming up this weekend. Mike, what have we got this weekend? Is it really going to be anything worth watching?
Well, it's the damnedest thing that you go and talking about. You know, it's when boxing was boxing and when it was good and when heavyweights were good, and it's when it was on, you know, free TV. And oh yeah, Saturday gets to be, to me at least, and I mean this, and hopefully this phrase can go down in the lore. It's the mythical end of boxing as North America's fight sport on Saturday. I know Pacquiao's fighting Marquez, and that's going to be a great fight. They've had two great fights. I don't have any doubt about that. But for free TV, a heavyweight championship bout, and there's a reason they did that. You know, obviously, it was good timing, too. Just something about a heavyweight title fight. And I'm sorry, I like smaller fighters in boxing and pro wrestling. You know, we always talk about Danny Hodge. Just talk about Boom Boom Mancini. You know, love talking about Frankie Edgar and guys like that in MMA. The reality of the situation is, for the rest of the country, there is nothing like a heavyweight championship battle, and you're going to get that on Saturday with two guys who are going to bang, who are very talented, and it's the new sport, and it's at its highest acceptance point right now. I know if you read The Observer and you listen to message boards and you're all this sort of stuff, it's like, all of this, battle going on. Is UFC doing the right thing? Or do they have too many shows and blah, blah, blah? Doesn't matter. To the general public, it's at its highest acceptance point, and it's still growing with a lot of those people. You still need to make inroads. They're going to do a hell of a job of that, I think, with Fox on Saturday night. Fox is done. I know everybody points to the NHL. NASCAR was a sketchy proposition as far as whether you liked it or not on Fox, but they did a hell of a job with the NFL. They've done a lot of great things, you know, with Fox Sports, and I would trust Fox Sports with the UFC product. It's something that goes hand in hand, I think, better than any other network that they could have possibly gone to. This is their best case situation, and I think they're going to put their best foot forward as far as production, as far as sucking people into this one-hour, one-fight show. I really have faith that it's going to work, and I really think that this is going to be the point. Obviously, it's the biggest. It's not the first one on network TV, you know, but it is the first one, I think, that people are going to look back and go, that's when UFC became that thing. Now, whether it lasts forever, if it lasts as long as boxing in the mainstream eye, if they become an HBO type, who knows what's going to happen. But as of right now, I think this is the time. Boxing's never going to go anywhere, but I think now mixed martial arts may actually be here to stay.
Well, they're giving them, 1 hour, and I guess the only match that's going to be televised on Fox is Velasquez and Santos. I heard Dana White out of today's press conference basically saying this is the biggest fight in UFC history. I guess I got to go with him on that in terms of, like, you know, the new direction and elevating it up. What if it goes 20 seconds, 30 seconds? You got a whole hour blocked out for this. And if this thing doesn't even make it past the first round, is that bad for business?
Yes and no. Because that was the whole thing with Tyson. When Tyson was knocking out Michael Spinks in 91 seconds in 1991.
That's when I quit spending money on pay-per-views.
But the thing is, that's when it was cool in the game, because you had Julio Cesar Chavez on the undercard. He was always a semi-main event, and it became a show. You were building up all night, partying with people and hanging out with people and drinking and doing all that stuff, and everybody saying, cool. And because at that time, pay-per-view was also like $30. So, I mean, you got 10 head over, and you're partying all night and doing all that stuff. That's cool. Now, by the end, when Tyson was knocking out Buster Mathis Jr. in the first round and fights that sucked and were farces, that's when it was like, that's not cool. So it's one of those things where I think if it's a spectacular, what we all know and know when we see it to go, goddamn, when it's a legendary knockout, I think if that happens, if we get a fantastic finish, it doesn't matter. If it's a sloppy finish Couture and Vitor Belfort, I remember when UFC was they were really starting to get their legs about them and trying to figure some things out. They had that pay-per-view. Couture gets his eyelid cut. Belfort wins the belt on a technicality because, he did technically beat him. He couldn't see, and it was just one of those freak things that happened where a piece of the glove cut Couture's eyelid, basically kind of not cut it off, but created a slit right on his eyelid, and he had right. If something like that happens, that's terrible. Because a lot of people are going, well, if it's a spectacular knockout or something like that, what are they going to do for the rest of the show? Well, here's what people are going to have to deal with and realize. You're going to network TV. I'm sorry. This is the way it works. You do things their way, and what happens? What they do is they go to a double commercial break, just like you see in the NFL if a guy gets in, just like you see in most sports. Just one of those things that happens. You get a couple extra commercials in because people pay time for that. Then they bring it back. Oh, we had a spectacular night. There's interviews. There's stuff like that where, and then you still show highlights. That's one thing. People are whining and complaining, well, they're not going to show Ben Henderson and Clay Guida. And yes, I think they could have gone about making sure everyone saw that fight, not on Facebook and on some other way. I think they probably should have gone out of their way to do a little bit better job in figuring that out. But with that said, they never said they weren't going to show highlights. They never said what they were and were not going to show. So you got a whole night of fights that you can show after that and go, when you order a UFC pay-per-view, what you're guaranteed to get is a number one contender's match like this. And you show a lot of the highlights or as much as you can of that fight. You go, not only that, in boxing, you maybe get one fight. Maybe if you're lucky, one out of every 100 pay-per-views you order, you get two fights. Well, we give you five, and they show fights from up and down the court. There's a zillion and one things they can do. As far as I'm concerned, for those people who have ever been to a live UFC show, they could just basically pay the Who doing Bob O'Reilly with the footage that they do, and that they could play that for the whole hour, and I'm fine. Just put different guys in the middle of it. I mean, it's just this, again, it's a big deal. It's a big moment and a big time for them, and I just think Fox is the right place. It may not, who knows what it's going to do ratings-wise. Saturday is a wonky night. College football is a big deal as far as attracting this audience, the exact audience that they have. But I just think it's way too over the top. It's got too much buzz, and I think 100% of the people that you think would watch a UFC show are going to watch it, so everybody after that's gravy.
Yeah, what is the big college game this week? I totally forgot to look that up, but I will say this: the whole Sunday, NFL package on Fox, the pregame show, the halftime, even the game crews, they have done everything they possibly could do to hype this event. And they're doing
legit.
And they have done a remarkable job doing it. They have done a great job.
I'm glad you actually said that too, because they have, and it's just, it's pros. One, a lot of those guys like it anyway. But you know, we've gone past. It's just UFC, and they did it before the Ultimate Fighter too. When they had the radio ads for the Ultimate Fighter, there were a lot of news stations, and WTOP in Washington was one of them. I mean, it's, to me, it's the best station in the entire country. All news, do a great job. They, you know, the tagline for the Ultimate Fighter, the original one that Forrest Griffin and Bonner had there, you know, that was the most important fight in UFC history to that point, and boy, they certainly delivered. You know, the tagline at the end of that on the radio ads was, you know, people were hurt in the making of this telecast. And it was just one of those things that made you laugh, but every tagline that they put onto these things and their marketing and some of the ads that they've done, Edgar Maynard, where people were debating back and forth, they've done a couple long-form ads that have just been great, and I just don't think, until the UFC screws up majorly, or until Fox shows to be themselves to be incompetent as far as being able to handle the sport and televise the sport in what we all think to be the proper fashion, you have to continue to bet on them until they screw it up.
And looking ahead at TV that night, college football, the biggest game is Oregon at Stanford going on at that time. I can't remember if that's ABC or ESPN. I don't have that information in front of me. But I'm guessing the other game apparently that's going to be primetime TV is probably Alabama at Mississippi State, I'm guessing, just because of the SEC, because nothing else here looks like a primetime caliber game. So
another one's going to actually be Rich too, and it won't mean anything. Is I don't know. I'm going to Washington D.C. to actually see Notre Dame and Maryland that night, and I don't know if that's because I believe that's a Notre Dame home game being played right next to Maryland's campus at that stadium. I believe it's a Notre Dame home game, which means NBC's got that.
Yeah.
Which means if that's the case, that's a lot of bad football and reruns going on at that time. Or really not. I don't want to say not a bad football. Because Oregon and Stanford should be pretty good. But with that said, that's a lot of not – it's not LSU and Alabama, and it's not a bunch of great first-run movies or something going on as competition.
Yeah, I think other than the Oregon-Stanford fans, any general football fan is going to be flipping back and forth between that game and another game normally. In this case, I'm guessing for the most part they're going to be flipping between Oregon-Stanford and perhaps UFC. So probably a good thing there. UFC 138, I will follow up and I will let you know that my sock drawer has been rearranged.
Yeah, you're not the only one. People point to shows like this as a overexposure for the UFC or you know, running too many shows. Look, he made a lot of money in Birmingham, England, which is frankly the point of this. The thing aired for free on Spike. So you're complaining that you didn't get a pay-per-view caliber show to pay for on free TV being given to you with some good fights. Shut up. Just please shut up.
In case you were wondering, I'm missing two blue socks and a black one. So I did come by that.
Deb, you know what the really lucky part was? You did find that magazine that you'd forgotten about that you stuffed in the back there.
I don't know anything about that. Obviously, the numbers coming back from UFC 138, over 10,000, almost 11,000, I guess, in attendance for a record-setting $1.5 million live gate.
I've always been a fan of the number of things. You know, I grew up as a Super Bowl guy. You know, I think my first Super Bowl I'd ever seen was, actually, my father always says it was born the North Wheezy Super Bowl at Denver. So it would actually be, I believe, Philadelphia-Oakland. This is the first one I really pretty much remember. I was four in 1980. I like numbers, but the UFC should really, they want to have shows every day of the week all across the world under the banner of the UFC. Just say the UFC presents. You know, I know that would probably lose some luster, and maybe they shouldn't do it yet as far as, like, again, making it a draw for people, you know, because Fight Night doesn't sound as good as a numbered UFC event. But this is, you know, this was just a solid show. But, again, it was done for the people in Birmingham, England. and good, and it was free for me, so I'm fine with it. Mark Munoz, I like a lot. Middleweight, the Filipino wrecking machine, a hell of a wrestler. You know, and Chris Leben, who's a very popular guy from that original Ultimate Fighter show, is had a great story for his life and career and a lot of ups and downs and yins and yangs, and it was a great fight to give up, you know, a good main event to get people for free. I mean, far better than a lot of boxing events and things like that, certainly better than most ESPN Friday Night Fight type fare or Showtime type fare, except on Saturday night. So I don't know, no complaints about that whatsoever. I mean, you got, and again, it was a night of, you got to see a lot of guys getting choked out. And, you know, sometimes you get a bunch of knockouts and things like that, but, you know, finishes by rear naked choke were always a popular thing. And you got to see some guys who you probably never saw before. I don't know how many people had seen Borrell before, you know, and then how many people knew that he was training with Aldo and Nunez and all those beasts down in Brazil. I mean, have you seen Diabate and Parash before? And Parash probably impressed a lot of people, you know, being what a lot of people thought was a D-list heavyweight, and they didn't think he'd actually get a choke victory over Diabate. I mean, that was cool. Had to see Papiavetti for the first time, and I know he got overwhelmed by Alves, but it was a good reintroduction to Alves. Like, oh yeah, I forgot this guy could be a beast sometime. So, again, I think you got your money's worth, which was you didn't have to pay for it. So I don't see any beef there.
Well, and Spike's got to be happy. I mean, they obviously won their time slot and the demographics they wanted.
And they are happy about some of these numbers, even though it hurts to lose these numbers because there's been a battle. And a lot of people bitched about how shows have been hyped and all that stuff. You know, there's a little bit of a precedent for this already with Jose Aldo and Uriah Faber. And then basically just calling it Aldo Faber because you had the Spike thing, you had all this stuff going on between Spike and Versus. And this is the same way. You got an expiring contract going on with NBC or Viacom. And the Versus deal and all that stuff, everything's going over to Fox. I mean, there's certain things you can and cannot do, you know, contractually and your obligations that way. So people need to stop and think about some of these things sometimes. And Spike loved the number. Obviously, Bellator's coming over to him, but I don't think it's going to be for a little while yet. I think they have to wait till 2013. And I like Bellator a lot, and again, it's going to do well there. I think it's important to have a second promotion, especially one of that size, and with that enthusiasm, and getting Viacom to back them, I think was a great thing. But with that said, you know, the Spike's going to be missing this, so yeah, they're incredibly happy with the rating. But again, people that bitched about, oh, they didn't hype this show or they didn't hype the Fox show enough, there's no reason. There's absolutely no reason whatsoever, outside of the UFC wanting them to, for anyone on Spike to hype up the UFC going over to Fox. None.
All right, moving on to some wrestling talk. Wow, we spent 27 minutes on boxing and MMA.
I did not even realize that. Good Lord.
All right, wrestling fans, wake up. we'll actually put you back to sleep now because Monday Night Raw, pretty much the same show we've been seeing for quite a while now. Kevin Nash returns, obviously, you know, R-Truth and The Miz in the main event there, at least the TV main event, going over John Cena and Zack Ryder to end the show. I don't know, nothing special here. Did you get anything out of Raw this week?
Oh, God, absolutely. No, it was just more of, like, this isn't good and I don't care. And again,
there
I'm just
go.
One person, but the thing is, I'm one person of a lot of people that are actually saying it's just a big fat general fail right now, and maybe they'll turn around. I hope they'll turn it around. But, you know, I'm not buying anything that's going on. I don't care. I've been one of the people that I never thought you could turn John Cena heel. I mean, not for a long, long time and going through lots and lots of things. Why is he just not a heel now? I mean, he beats up Miz. The only way this would make any sense is if they all turn on Rock. And that would be the only reason that Cena, you know, beats the shit out of The Miz and the Truth constantly and still needs The Rock to come in, who he, you know, absolutely not mortally hates, but hates what he did to the fan base, which is booing him because The Rock is backing around. I mean, it's just, none of this makes any sense. The Nash and Triple H stuff is stupid. there's been bullet holes in that. You know, Nash's whole thing, you know, has been he cares but he doesn't care, but he cares but he does. And nobody else watching cares. It's just none of this is popping for me at all. And again, maybe it's just not aimed at me or whatever, but it's just. Yeah, Punk, I think it was Punk that made the, and Punk and Del Rio, the build of this, which I thought was, you know, again, you know, would not have, you know, would have come with better flow over time. But the fact is, I didn't think you could screw that one up, and they screwed it up. But Del Rio's been relatively impotent. Punk doesn't beat anybody anyway. They've even basically pointed to that of, you know, why does he even deserve a shot? He's been beaten so much he just knocks guys out, and that's why, because you punch somebody, and that's a, you know, title shot around here. And it's like, but I thought the place was out of control. It's just all of this nonsense and BS, and just, it's not good. It's just, to me, it's just flat not good, and I just don't care. And I think, again, it was Punk that talked about the DVR thing. You know, I wonder how many people are, obviously, they're not watching it live, you know, or a lot of people aren't watching it live, they're DVRing it. I wonder how many of them just fast forward through and delete it off, and nothing ever sinks in for them. And I swear, I think WWE has that mentality. They basically come to that, like, look, you're gonna watch the end, so just fast forward to the end. I don't get it. Which is the opposite of TNA, because by the end of that show, they just lose everybody.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, the rating obviously takes a dip this week. It's 2.88 was the final number. Is that just a sign of the times, or is that maybe because it was tape delayed? You know, people have a chance to see the spoilers. You're the numbers guy.
What's
the numbers? What's that?
I don't think it bothered him in Mexico too much. And, yeah, I do understand that it would be down a little bit, but I think if it was a good period or you saw something good in the spoilers, you would have to watch. So I think, yeah, it did work against me on tape delay in this scenario because they're not doing well right now. And it's hard. It's really hard to care. Again, it's when you have the common fan, and they always make fun of the 10%. They always chastise the wrestling fan of, you know, you're not the one we're aiming for, which is always an amazing thing. But fine, okay. When the casual fan doesn't care, or they're able to blow holes in it, or they just don't take it seriously at all, yeah, I mean, yeah, okay, maybe they're still going there because they're taking their kid and they'll still watch a little bit, but they're not taking it seriously whatsoever and aren't going to spend anything outside of that. Well, that's bad. You know, it's just bad business. And, you know, people just don't care. And they're making it hard for you to care about anything that they do. Whatever grand plan that they think they have, they don't. It's not good for the average fan. It's not good for the hardcore wrestling fan. It's not good. It's not good for anybody. It's not good sports. It's not good entertainment. It's nothing. It's a waste.
And if it wasn't bad enough right now, next week they're going to do an extra hour of it, and they're going to return Jim Ross so that we can have the Michael Cole challenge.
Oh, hopefully it's, yeah, 3 hours of Jim Ross. You know, why not? 3 hours of Jim Ross just getting embarrassed with, oh, boy, that's fun.
It's not in his hometown, so it won't be as bad as it could be, I guess.
Oh, that's absolutely, of course not. Yeah, maybe, but who knows, maybe they'll call in his wife to be there and actually sit her there. That'll be great. I just, Lance Storm, who gets invited backstage at WWE shows, was called by some of the people, or was called by WWE about some of the people on his World of Hurt show that he did up for, I forget what it is. It was like Man Cave TV or something like that. There was something very homoerotic about it, or The Cave, which everybody thought it was like a gay network, like Logo or something like that. But none of that doing anything. It's just funny with the way Lance talking about that when he discussed it on Figure Four Daily. But in any event, you know, he gets a guy, he goes backstage. They ask him for his opinion. He can wrestle with it. I mean, again, he's a highly respected guy. He's made it flat, no bones about it, flat out. I'm not going to watch if Jim Ross is going to get embarrassed. And he said this, and it's like he'll boycott the show. What the hell does that say? I mean, it's just so. And again, I don't really want to watch either. It's, frankly, I wouldn't watch. I would wait till somebody told me it got good if I didn't have to watch. And I think that's really the opinion of a lot of people. There's a lot of stuff to do. Not every Monday Night Football game is Ravens-Jacksonville, and if it is, unless you actually have no life whatsoever and you're just that pathetic, there's a zillion and one things you could be spending 2 hours better doing than watching Raw. It's just, that's just the way it is. It's just not good. at least to me.
Well,
that's my opinion.
And based on the spoilers for SmackDown that came out of Liverpool the following night, yeah, you're a loser if you're actually going to stay home Friday and watch.
I love losing streak gimmicks. Like several going on. Punk's got one.
Yep.
Morrison's got one. Ziggler! Dolph Ziggler, the one guy you should be taking care of right now. The one guy you should be taking care of right now. Has gotten beat by Zack Ryder. He's gotten beat by Mason Ryan. He's gotten beaten by John Morrison. He is the
US
champion.
Hugh Jackman. Yeah.
Yes, was chased by a Muppet. I mean, holy shit. I mean, goddamn. I just don't understand. Kent State, multiple times, All-American wrestler, can talk his ass off, has been buried with bad gimmicks a zillion times, was put in a crate and sent to OVW, was a caddy for a Mexican guy who wanted to be white. You name it. He has survived all of this. He is the guy that, you know, he's got a attitude. He can pull off the interview to the outside public, but still be a snarky bastard where it makes people on the internet kind of laugh. He is pretty damn good in the ring. He's not a god or anything, but damn it, he's got essential tools that you need, and he's got a look, and he's got a presence, and he can deal with the fans. He's got it all. He should not be getting chased by Muppets and beaten by every guy who comes along to have a losing streak gimmick. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense, and it's a waste. And he's one of those guys that he's one of the my son. You know, he likes Kofi Kingston. He likes, you know, certain guys. John Cena, Dolph Ziggler stood out. You know, Dolph Ziggler could be a guy that a fan who's 10 right now may still like when he's 20 or 30. They don't have a lot of those guys, and they need to think 10, 20, 30 years down the line, because I know they made $108 million in the third quarter. I know it was down. I know the movie division dragged a lot of it down. But think about that. $108 million in 3 months. That's really impressive. 30 years from now, will you still be making $108 million? I don't know. It took a long time to build WWE to the point that it is now. It's going to take a long time to kill it dead. But it's when you don't create new fans, or you take them lightly, or you put on this schlock because it's drawing a rating, but is not drawing anybody in long term, then what's really the point? A series of hot shots. And hot shots of nonsense.
Well, you know, what it feels like right now is, you know, I mean, obviously Survivor Series is one of the big pay-per-views. We know that. They build toward this when it's like a WrestleMania Junior pay-per-view. But I swear to God, it feels like they're building for just one of the other, other than The Rock, you know, the main event. It really doesn't feel like they're building toward anything special. And that's
no.
That. But yet, here we go, as bad as things are. WWE claims to have broken a record on sales on opening day for WrestleMania tickets. So, you know,
and of course they will.
People are still going to fork over their dough for the big event.
Hey, and yes, they are. And WrestleMania, you know, they should. It's WrestleMania. It's just the other. You got to make money the other 51 weeks of the year, not just WrestleMania week. You have to try to create fans. I mean, there are still, you know, conventions. There are still, you know, again, there's still boxing heavyweight title fights. People still go to them. They still end up on TV. But they have 99% of America name a heavyweight champion. They can't do it. So, yeah, you can still have the event, and people are still going to go to it, and people will still treat it like a big deal once a year. But if you don't have the other time, then what's the point?
All right, back to a little bit of MMA. Bellator, obviously on our radar recently. Bellator 57 coming up this weekend. Anything special standing out to you? Anything we need to watch the war there?
Ooh, you know, where's Todd Martin when I need him? I haven't had a chance to see Bellator. I got them all backed up on the DVR, and I haven't had a chance to see any of them in a while. I actually got to pull up the card here to see what it is. You know, the few times I have seen Bellator, and Bjorn Rebney, who's the owner of the company, has really done a great job with that. And on M2, which, you know, all those shows on the MTV network end up being, you know, they're only on for a certain period of time, and then they're off. You know, it's just you're on there for a short period of time. You are what you are, and then you're off of there. Because people, you know, the attention spans and everything on that network, they've done a good job with good fights. I mean, they have good guys there. Cole Conrad, NCAA champion, and Pat Curran, who I know just won the featherweight tournament final last week, and he's going to get a title shot. I mean, they have good, really good fighters there that fight there. And, yes, it's not the UFC. It's not any of that stuff, but they don't try to be. They don't, you know, they know what they are, and they are what they are, and they've done a very good job, and they put on always pretty damn good fights. I haven't had a chance to see too many of their undercards, but they've been pretty good. I guess it's what, the welterweight tournament championship, or the tournament final, which Ben Saunders, I think, who the last time I saw Ben Saunders was losing to John Fitch at the UFC show in Newark. It was the very first one they did in the greater UFC area. And Ben Saunders is I think the nicest thing they could say about him, or the best thing they could say about him really at the time, was, you know, he's a vegetarian. he's a good fighter. He's a big guy for his weight. He's 6'3". But, you know, he didn't have a good run in the UFC. And, you know, fighting Douglas Lima, who has not had UFC experience yet. I mean, this is, and again, it doesn't, look, the fights, you got to watch to give it a shot to see if you like the production and everything. And, you know, fights are fights, where this could be spectacular just because of all the ways it could go. You know, I don't know if it will be or not. I don't know a whole lot about Douglas Lima, but, you know, Saunders is big for his size. Again, I don't know much about Lima, so I don't want to talk about it too much, but, you know, I guess it's Smolenko against Viana, I guess, in the other fight, which is the middleweight tournament championship. Again, I don't know a whole lot about those two guys. I know I've seen Smolenko fight. I had to have. I don't know if it was on Bellator or not. Probably was. But, again, I don't know too much about it, so I don't want to say too much. But still, with Joe Warren and Cole Conrad and, you know, guys like that they do actually have on their roster, again, They're gonna end up leaving at some point and going to the UFC when it's time. But if they can give an outlet to guys on their way up, and again, give a shot for UFC fighters on their way down who don't want to go to England and fight King of the Cage or go to other places or go to super small shows, it gives them a legitimate show to make a little bit better money and to have another shot again maybe to get back in. And I think that's good for UFC too, even though they're going to have all these things going on. If there's a wrestling or if there's a MMA promotion out there that's not doing damage to you whatsoever and is again, keeping the honor of the sport out there, then there's nothing you can complain about there. And it's good for the fights. It's good for the gyms, too, because, you know, there's always guys that, you know, you always hear about these powerhouse gyms and guys George St. Pierre trains with and Pat Barry's going up to train with Brock Lesnar and all that sort of stuff. But for every guy like that, there's a zillion and one other fighters out there who are fun and just love to fight and want to go out there, and they deserve an opportunity, and Bellator is the show for that. So, again, I know Todd Martin talks about it on Figure Four Daily a lot with Brian. He's a huge proponent of it. He's even more lucky in the fact that he's got FX, which is a high-def channel that not a whole lot of people get. I certainly don't get it, but and M2 is certainly not in high-def for me. But, again, the couple shows I've seen have been fun, and, again, it's a good outlet to have it for the sport.
Well, you know, a story came out this week on MMA Junkie talking about Bellator looking at more events during each season. I didn't really get into what the story was talking about. Didn't really get into the meat of it. But, you know, when I see, okay, per season, they're talking MTV season. If they're going to be on Spike, they're obviously going to have to at least get away from, okay, well, we're going to work a TV season, take a few months off, come back, work another TV season type format, aren't they? I mean, you almost have to go to just starting to set up random events, I would think.
Well, I think it's
is that a formula for them? I mean, what other than maybe, I don't know if it's I don't know who sets that. Is that MTV saying, hey, we need you to do 12 events, and here you go, and then take, you know, 3 months off, and then we're going to bring you back and do another 12 or 13 or whatever it is. And I mean, is that an MTV thing or is that a Bellator thing?
I think that's more of an MTV thing. I think, honestly, because of the way it is, yeah, I mean, that to me, because you can have a fight every week and still have, well, Raw shows it. I mean, the fall season for the mentality of TV broadcasting is always going to be at X date. February sweeps is always going to be at X date. There's always going to be certain times, and it doesn't really matter. But, yeah, I think how MTV does it and the way they structure their shows, or they have structured their shows, it was like, okay, you're on in a cycle. And that's what I said about, like, there are certain shows that they're on for certain periods of time, and then they're gone. Like, they had the
right.
Lucha show on. They've had certain shows on. I think even, like, Jersey Shore. Okay, in the 10 spot, you're going to have the Jersey Shore. When Jersey Shore ends after their 6 or 10 or whatever week run, Beavis and Butthead's going to start. When that runs over, we got this. When that runs over, we got this. So, yeah, I can see that's how they structured it. It makes complete sense. Now, what they're really going to have to do is better promotion. And again, they've been limited before. I think, you know, you could argue the best promotion they've done is actually be on TNA and sending Joe Warren to be over on TNA and talk about it. I think Bjorn Remnant was on TNA as well last week or a couple weeks ago to kind of hype it too, and that's good. But everybody should know who Eddie Alvarez is. That's the best guy they got on there. Obviously, Cole Conrad is the biggest beast of a guy that they have on there. They're top heavyweight. But Eddie Alvarez has been around for years. Is an incredibly respected, 135-pound fighter who, or 155-pound fighter who, if he walked into the UFC, would be the odds-on favorite. Honestly, if he were to go up against Frankie Edgar, and obviously you know how Edgar is right now, he would walk in and be the favorite going into that fight against Edgar. And there's not many guys who can legitimately do that anymore. The Japanese guys who came over proved the worldwide rankings and who you beat and all that stuff mean nothing. But that's how good Alvarez is. So you got to start getting Alvarez's name out there. You got to get Ben Askren's name out there. There's more people should know who Cole Conrad is, who he trains with, all that sort of stuff. And the other thing it's going to do, too, is women fighters. I like women's fights. I don't think that you need to have divisions that are stacked and that are uber competitive for women's fights. You just don't. You know, Mia St. John, Christy Martin, Layla Ali, Jackie Fraser Lyle. When they would fight in these pay-per-view boxing ones, it was just that you had a one-off fight. And I'm fine with that. As long as you set up the best competitive fight you can, you don't need titles or divisions or all that stuff. A good fight is a good fight, and I respect women fighters. It makes me cringe sometimes. But Gina Carano and Cyborg proved it. All you need is the right fight, and you know what? It can be a great accessory to what may be a boring show, or you book a show and you've had injuries and stuff like that, have a good woman's fight. And I think that's one of the reasons that the UFC is considering keeping Strikeforce around, or there's the rumor that they may be okay with Strikeforce continuing on Showtime. I think that's one of those reasons, is because it gives the UFC an out of all of these things Dana White has said and the philosophy that the UFC has that we're going to adhere to. It gives them an out to do things like women's fights. It gives them an outlet to obviously, stick into Bellator by offering guys who may lose in the UFC lesser money to go down there and things like that. I think that if that's any of the reason they keep it around, it's just a reaction to this Bellator deal and making sure that they have their own minor league looked at as opposed to having Bellator. But again, if I'm UFC, I'm completely happy with having Bellator in the mix, and I'd probably keep Strikeforce around for that reason. Because I don't think they're ever going to have women fighters in UFC, not in the immediate future. I think that's personally a mistake, but I also think that's a good reason to keep Strikeforce around.
All right, and what I promise will be our last MMA story before we move back into some wrestling conversation. And this really only for the Bobby Lashley followers. What a crazy week for him. We left here last week. He had one opponent. That's changed twice. And the fight is Friday night in Lubbock, Texas.
Any event going on in Texas that just bothers me with that the lack of state athletic commission?
Here's my thing is all the other stuff be damned. How do you prepare for a fight? You've been training, for this guy. You maybe even watches a film on this guy. Oh, by the way, no, you're not going to fight him now. You're going to fight this guy. Okay, well, let me go watch some film on him. And then a couple days later, let me go get some film on this guy. How do you go in there Friday night and have a clue what the hell you're going to be doing?
Well, you just trust in your management enough that they have guys that you can meet up with the exact philosophy that you had. And that's the thing. I mean, Bobby Lashley, in an interesting spot. You know, he's a little bit older. I'm really happy that he's continued on with MMA and the losses haven't, you know, I know a lot of it in people's eyes really hurt Lashley and they looked down on him coming into it, which I don't understand why. I mean, he was in the Army and he was a champion in the Army. I think an NIAI champion. Give the guy credit. I mean, he's a fighter. I mean, yes, he was a wrestler for a little bit. Yes, he was slightly big, maybe possibly unnaturally. Could be. I don't know. He was huge. You know, not Ahmed Johnson huge, but boy, he was all huge. But in any event, you know, give him the shot in MMA. And yeah, I mean, he's fighting for sharp fights, which, and they've done a pretty good job actually themselves. You know, Bossroom do the announcing and all that sort of stuff. You know, failed out in Strikeforce and everything, but I'm happy he's continued on with it and just, you know, it's. Oh, he just got to hope that obviously he's not at a high point in his career right now. He's not a Brock Lesnar. He hasn't been a natural in that way or anything like that. So you trust in your management's going to get you a guy that it doesn't matter. It's like if a guy dropped out at a club, you know, club fighting sort of thing, and you just, you know, you continue to do what you're doing. You go and beat that guy up. It's as simple as that. And I don't. He's not at the level, obviously, Chad Griggs proved that in Strikeforce. He's not at the level of a guy where an opponent change should hurt him, because an opponent change should just be exactly the can that he needs to continue to get better experience. And it's terrible, you know, to call whoever it is a can that he's going to be fighting. But, you know, realistically, you know, the money's in Bobby Lashley. You want to make him look good. You want to keep him sharper and get better and all that stuff. So you find a guy that is going to do that for him, and I assume that's who this guy is. It's, again, when you get a backup to a backup on short notice, you got to think it's what it is.
I don't know. I don't know how big this story is. You know, I don't know what's going to result from it, but TNA announces this week a training program with OVW in what appears to be I guess a formal developmental type situation where these guys are going to train together, work together, and possibly become a feeder system, I guess, for TNA. I don't know. Is that how you really perceive this?
Because it kind of
reads that way. It kind of smells that way, but they're saying it's not. So I don't know. I don't know.
I know. It's another place for TNA to run a TV show. It's already set up to do that, and it looks very good. It comes across well. You know, again, it's the crowd is what it is, but they set up to do that. Danny Davis obviously has got a pedigree as a trainer and in the wrestling business. Makes sense. I don't know who else he's got with him, but I assume he's got some smart guys, or at least you know certainly know what they're doing. It's not like it was back in the heyday when the Bobby Lashleys and Shelton Benjamins and all those guys were there. It's a different type of training camp now. It's a more basic, it's not a developmental territory as far as, the, you know, having guys down there and guys who have been contracted who have just fresh out of, you know, all of that sort of stuff. It's what it is. It's one of the best ones, but right now it is what it is. It's not the same, so it's good for TNA to try to get guys and get them ready and things like that. Obviously, they want guys to be on TV, OVW. Where else are you supposed to send them? You know, who else gets them ready for TV? I mean, who else has got TV experience and has their own TV show? So it's a smart move, but I don't know what the deal is. Obviously, they must be paying. If it's really a working deal, then they're giving OVW money, and I don't know if they're going to be doing that or not. And it's going to hurt my feelings a little bit if Ring of Honor is not going to be there anymore. And I think that's what would be the sign to me, is if Ring of Honor is not, you know, doesn't come there anymore. And I haven't heard anything from their camp or anything. But just on the surface from TNA, it's not a bad deal. If I get to see the Impact in a different building, great. If I get to see maybe a guy in a squash match that's getting some visibility for Danny Davis, great. You know, good. Yeah, and again, having to pipeline guys up to Ohio Valley to train, to get a different mentality, I don't see anything wrong in this whatsoever, unless I don't get to see Ring of Honor there anymore, which that kind of sucks because Jim Cornette being in OV, you know, being in the Davis Arena is a cool, was always a cool visual because it's his. It wasn't his, but you know what I mean. He was the face of it.
Sure.
And Dean
yeah. Probably a little bit of a spoiler here for anybody.
And Trent Van Der Ees, by the way. Trent Van Der Ees, OVW.
Yeah, hey, he's the man. And as a matter of fact, OVW Overview returns this Sunday. Go ahead and get that plug in there for those guys. Tune in at 2 o'clock on Sunday for that. I believe Mike Johnson from PW Insider is going to be with him this weekend. A little bit of a spoiler, I guess, prior to TV for tomorrow night for Impact, but AJ Styles is set up to be in the main event with Robert Roode on Sunday at a Turning Point. However, he had a really bad fall in a match with Gunner over the weekend in Battle Creek, Michigan. He's got a serious high ankle sprain. All indications are he's still going to try to pull this thing off. I saw a photo that he posted online of this thing yesterday. It looks pretty ugly, but I don't know. Maybe they're able to tape it up enough to be able to get a decent match out of it, but I definitely don't see this being an epic half-hour main event type situation.
I hope not.
Because AJ's one of those guys you don't need going down for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, anything like that.
Oh, dear God, no. And, you know, he shouldn't put himself in that position to do that anyway. Again, you know, this isn't like it happened like slipping on a pipe. Before the show, you've had some time now to know, so you should be able to, and again, they haven't been able to plan their way out of a paper bag and in short notice situations much, but you've had a couple of days. I hope they have an out for this, and again, I know he's going to go through the match. I guess you can't tell him, you know, guys, maybe he is just truly hurt and not injured, you know, and he's just... He's just injured enough to be able to make it through. Again, I hope he didn't do anything stupid or anything like that. You don't have to. But again, AJ Styles has done too much in matches very often in his career, and Kurt Angle's the same way. And there's just I don't want to see it. Don't need to see it. I just hopefully they have a plan for an out to this that actually is pretty entertaining. They probably don't, but hopefully they do.
And speaking of Angle, word comes that I guess yesterday his reckless driving case in Virginia ended with a $1,500 fine, no jail time. So he gets out of this one okay. And let's see, Barry Windham, while we're talking about issues with guys, Barry Windham, nice piece by Mike Mooneyham over the weekend, by the way. Go to ringsiderap.com, look for the story, hit on the link. GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, same place, or same story, came out on Sunday. Basically, a little bit of an interview with Blackjack Mulligan, where he basically was talking about how he found Barry, and basically the recovery stage and whatnot. And just our best wishes go out to the family and friends of the Windhams. God, did you hear about the car crash with Mark Canterbury?
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah,
word is he goes over a cliff, and it took something like an hour for them to even find him and begin treatment. He's got a couple of punctured lungs, a broken leg, several broken ribs. Word was, I guess, his son was in the car with him, but haven't heard much on him or how the accident happened or anything, but good God, that doesn't sound good at all.
No, and who knows? I mean, he didn't say crushed leg, so that's good. But I mean, the broken ribs, the broken leg, but double punctured lungs, and who knows how much? Again, if it was an hour or damn close to it, oh Jesus! And I didn't know about his son being in the car. I just hadn't heard about him and those injuries, and it's just brutal. And nobody knows why it happened yet, but I guess we'll find out hopefully more about, hopefully because Canterbury is able to talk about it. You know, we'll hear more about it, but you just, Kurt Angle, you know, $1,500 slap on the wrist, you would assume. $1,000 if the fine was suspended, no jail time, won't lose his license. Yeah, he didn't have to appear in court. He just says it's no contest, and he's had a couple of these, and it's like, you know, life's a fleeting thing, and Kurt Angle, and I know there's been this wrestler thing of, ha-ha, I've blown a 0.0. I haven't been drinking. Man, bad form. Bad form. It was bad form for Matt Hardy when he said it. Kurt Angle, I know, is always, you know, that's been one of his things, is, you know, God, I'm not even blowing, you know, bad here. It's just, oh, God, it's 2011, guys. You know, you just can't do it. But don't do it. Just don't do it because, you know, in most of these cases, the highest profile ones, it's not the donk who's all drunk driving that dies. It's always, you know, somebody innocent that they run into and just, I don't know. To me, again, with Kurt Angle, with how many times he's been arrested, if this is the average person on the street, does this happen? You know, does a $1,500, how many times has he been arrested? I just don't want no contests and all that stuff, but I mean, my Lord, how many times does one person have to happen to, you know, I just, insane.
Well, and you know, no offense here, but I'd probably be doing about, you know, a year a shot by now. So, really sad story comes out of New Jersey, out of Newark. Matt Morgan's cousin, who is a cop, was off duty at a nightclub Monday or Tuesday, and apparently there was a robbery attempt, and he basically decided he was going to take on the robber and ended up getting shot and killed. And horrible, horrible story, reading about the details. I can't even come up with good things to say here. First of all, the fact that he's a cop, that's just, you know, I always hate to hear about cops and firefighters going down because I'm from a family of both. But, you know, this guy was off duty and just a horrible, horrible thing. And, you know, amazing bravery to try to take on the guy. I don't know. If I got a gun pointed at me, you know, take whatever you want. But obviously, our hearts go out to the Morgan family.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And again, not
it was
to downplay
years
this
old,
or any,
by the way.
Yeah, not to downplay this or anything, but it's a good reminder. Don't be a hero. You know, sometimes it's not the time. If you have your Kevlar on and you got your shield and you've got your gun. Maybe. But, oh, man, yeah, don't try to take on anybody. But, God, it's just, yeah. Just, I'm sorry for Matt Morgan. And all of this, and a lot of tragic news, you know, recently. It's just never any fun.
Well, no less this week, and I think that's going to wrap it up for us. I will say this, Les, I think, had his last surgery today, or at least the last one he knew about. So we'll find out how he's doing and see if he's not going to rejoin us here next week. Hopefully
yeah, tell us about
he's
the birthday
the
celebrations from last week.
How was that?
Yeah, tell us about the birthday celebrations from last week.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, for him, we will say, if you're looking for any wrestling training or information on how he can help you, your promotion, or you as an individual, hit him up at les@epwt.com or visit epwt.com to get some more information. Mike, what do you got going on?
I'd say hi to Brutal Bob Evans. I haven't said hi to him in a while. He's a bigger name more than me. As you know, he's not. I love hearing my name. And that's why
I love shows
like this.
I love Bob Evans' restaurants, man. He does a great job.
It's always at home style, but... yeah, I've been Mike Big Audio Nightmare with Adam Summers at F4WOnline.com. Or Muse's Japanese Wrestling. I end up talking a lot of hockey and lots of other things as well. Didn't have a chance to see Bruce Boudreau this weekend like I wanted to at the Washington Redskins game, but I did get a chance to take Avery to his first game, as if you go to Facebook.com/ Michael Sempervivi, S-E-M-P-E-R-V-I-V. You get to see the, you know, if nothing else, I was able to create life that looked good, and you get to see my son posing with cheerleaders of the Washington Redskins because he's just that cute.
I will say this, Avery is the cutest kid that's not mine.
That's a cute kid that no one wants to claim except for Granny, and she just feels bad about him. Brian Alvarez. I don't know exactly when we're going to be doing the show. Again, I'll be going to the Notre Dame Maryland game Saturday night, so I'm going to get caught back up on the UFC, got to get caught up on the Pacquiao show, and a lot of other things going on. Obviously, going into the pay-per-view, but we should be doing a Wrestling Observer Live coming up here Sunday, 6 to 8 on Sports Byline. Maybe live, truly live again. I don't know, but I think Brian's going down to that show. It's going to be interesting. So both of those shows, obviously, here at ringsiderap.com. So, yay!
There you go. That was the Tom Slick cheer. ringsiderap.com. You can always follow us there during the week. And, of course, catch us here on Wednesdays. Don't forget to check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for all things Georgia and around the Southeast for local indies and what's going on there. Let's see. Tomorrow night, Peach State Pandemonium, Mike Norris, Jerry Oates, and Bobby Simmons. Welcome Pepper Martin. That ought to be some pretty good conversation there. Midnight Black Mass returns Friday night at midnight. Can't recall right now what was on. I know I got an email on that. We'll be sure to get that plug up. I can't remember who he's got going on this weekend with him. And, of course, as we mentioned earlier, OVW Overview back on Sunday. That is, of course, a monthly show. There'll be, I believe, Mike Johnson from PW Insider is going to be on with him. I've got to go back and check my notes on that. But stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for all that information on upcoming shows. And that's going to do it here for us tonight. Mike? Nice show, and a little MMA heavy tonight, but it was a lot to talk about.
Hey, why not? Hey, everybody wants to hear less talk wrestling anyway, so we might as well go with that on a week like this where wrestling's so down, and there's so much stuff going on beyond the K-fabulous part of the squared circle. So, yes. That's all I got. I got nothing else. I'm dying now. Take that back. Final score, Auburn. 34. I know this isn't going to happen. But Auburn, 34. Georgia, 6.
All right. And don't forget Georgia Tech plays tomorrow night. So I'll be watching them against Virginia Tech hosting
Please
them.
Please kill
hopefully
Tech.
Hopefully they can pull out. Tech's going to win. I can tell you that. I can guarantee that. a team with Tech in their name will win this game. I'm sorry. I'm pulling for Auburn on Saturday. Let's see. There was something else. Dragon Gate. We didn't talk about Dragon Gate tonight. Dragon Gate USA's got three events coming up this weekend. We'll have lineups for that up at Ringside Wrap. And let's see. If I'm not mistaken, those are getting carried, at least two of those this weekend, or all of them. All of them getting carried this weekend on pay-per-view?
I think so, at least on the WWE.
So. Yeah,
pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. We'll have a link up where you can actually go and purchase it and watch it on the internet. So anyway, that's going to do it here for us this week. We will see you next Wednesday.
We thank you for listening to the Tribecast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.